Hey podcast, before we get into podcast, when I say hey podcast, I mean all of you who are listening. So first of all, thank you for listening. Second of all, two little things for you to know about before we get into today's podcast. One, the Monday to Monday playlist that Mike Boyd and I curate each week on Monday with a lot of incredible music from a ton of emerging stars, especially if you're into Latin trap and hip hop. It's really made for you. Obviously, if you're Caleb and you love metal, not for you. But if you are the majority of people that enjoy hip hop or Latin trap, very, very much up for you. And so you can see that on Apple and on Spotify, Monday to Monday. I'm not sure exactly what, if you search Monday to Monday, it should pop up. That should be good. Search Monday to Monday on those two platforms to subscribe to the playlist. And I hope you listen, and I hope you enjoy this podcast.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
What's up, everyone? In today's episode, Gary explains how one of your most valuable assets is your mindset. He believes that once you practice patience, perseverance, and self-awareness, things will become more clear. So make sure to hit him up and leave a review to let us know what you thought, and I hope you enjoy.
I say that I sleep 6, 7, and 8 hours, and that nobody should do anything that doesn't make them happy, and that making $47,000 a year and being happy is amazing, and yet people want to make me the poster child of overworking and burning yourself out. I get it. I understand what happens once you hit a certain tier. I also understand that maybe I could have done a better job earlier in the process of my career in creating clarification. Thus, I'm okay with getting link baited into some of these conversations. But listen, I believe in work-life balance. I just think my work-life balance is different than yours. I also think that happiness needs to be thought about. And like, when you love what you do, like, this is my hobby.
You also have to know what you want, right?
Correct.
If you want to be a billionaire, you're not going to do it by just sleeping all day.
Let me say it one more time, because I've got to clarify it all the fucking time. I'll say it for the 9,000th fucking time. The pursuit of trying to buy the New York Jets is my passion, because it allows me to play the game that I love. I love being a businessman the way a lot of you love playing football, the way a lot of you love to ski, the way a lot of you love to read, the way a lot of you love to cook, watch Netflix, hang out with your friends. If given the option, besides garage sailing and watching the Jets professionally, forget about family, that's on a pedestal that nothing can touch, outside of spending time with my inner family and closest friends, and outside of garage sailing and watching the Jets, there's nothing I'd rather do than work a 15-hour day.
You're self-aware, you know you.
And I always have. This is why I shoveled snow and did lemonade. And I washed fucking cars as a 7-year-old all day long on August 9th, because it's what I like. And I'm not gonna judge somebody who wants to work 9 to 5, be on 13 fucking softball teams and play fucking video games all day and make 42K a year. If she and he are pumped as fuck, they're equal to me, because I know a bunch of miserable fucking billionaires, and I know a lot of fucking happy 55K a years and everything in between. So fuck, you know, like, here's my thing. If you listen carefully, I'm only spitting two core things. You be self-aware and you make yourself happy and don't let anything other variables, you adjust to macro variables. And two, this is what makes me happy. A lot of people are spitting their ideology on other people, especially after they've already accomplished something.
At what point does patience just become delusion?
A lot of times.
Right,
if you've been doing the same thing for 7 years and nothing good has happened, you're delusional. Let's start there. That's a test. I believe in that. If there's been no progress in your rap career or in your art or your video blog, and you've been doing it every day for 7 years, as hard as you can, and nothing has happened, the market has spoken. That's one way. Now, is that 4 years? Is that 2 years? Do people jump off? Like, you need to see some level of progress to keep you having blood in the water to get you going. But sometimes there is a breakthrough, because if the machine is in between you and the market, well, then you gotta be discovered. But the reason now I think it's more pure is because SoundCloud and Spotify and YouTube and Shopify and Amazon, now you get the feedback loop so fast, and it isn't the arbitrary subjective call. The reason it took some of the greatest stars of all time 11 years to break through is because other people had say. People didn't see Gaga's talent. They thought she was weird. Somebody thought she wasn't weird. She breaks out. But Lady Gaga today, She goes on fucking YouTube and fucking Spotify direct, and the market speaks quicker. People are more famous quicker now if they have the talent, because nobody's in the middle. This is why I talk in general terms on content, of course, because I don't have the context, but if somebody sat here and I listened for 40 minutes, I would tell them if they're delusional or just impatient. And most people are impatient and delusional.
Fair.
I mean, that's just the reality of it. Do you know that everybody who picks on me for telling people that you don't need to make a lot, there are literally people now pushing back on my thesis that you can be happy without making a lot of money. This is literally now happening. I'm like watching it. I'm like, this is remarkable. Like, let me explain how I plan on addressing that by not addressing it until the economy collapses and then making some comments on how historically correct I was.
So the market will course correct and take away all the bottom feeders.
And your control in this scenario is when a client says to you, no bro, I need $10 ROAS. You're like, thank you very much. I'm not the guy for you.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Great.
If you're standing on top of a mountain, yes, you could have the attention of every single entrepreneur in the world. What would you tell them?
Real entrepreneurs or people that are claiming to be entrepreneurs during this era?
Real hardworking entrepreneurs.
How lucky did we get that we didn't end up being athletes?
Why is that?
Because they have to retire at 36.
What are some of the common characteristics between the most successful athletes and the most successful business people you've met?
Preparation, competitiveness, deep passion for the fucking game, you know? I mean, that's a real entrepreneur. She or he loves it so much, they couldn't be, I mean, my actions have spoken long before entrepreneurship was cool. I was not capable of being a student because of my deep passion for entrepreneurship. It was baseball cards. It was baseball cards that didn't allow me to be a good student. I was incapable of sitting in class and not dreaming about selling Bo Jackson cards. It took me over. But for some reason, when you're an athlete and you're missing a bunch of school for because you're a great athlete, or when you're Beyonce being homeschooled, right? That makes sense, but not for entrepreneurs. Right? Doesn't seem like you're allowed to miss a ton of school. If you're an unbelievable actor, actress, singer, athlete, missing normal school is something that all of us in this room and listening right now understand. You're like, oh yeah, that's what happens. Like, you're the best quarterback in the world. Like, yeah, you gotta throw with the quarterback. You miss first class, you know? But not for entrepreneurs. But that's who I was. I should have missed a whole bunch and went to the fucking mall. And on Thursday and Friday, I used to do baseball card shows. Baseball card shows in Jersey in the 90s were Thursday to Sunday. So you'd pay for a table for Thursday to Sunday. But I had to start Friday afternoon after school. I had to overpay for my tables and try to make back my nut on Friday afternoon, Saturday and Sunday.
I'm curious to hear.
I should have fucking missed school on Thursday.
Let's say you were standing on top of the mountain to talking to fake wannabe entrepreneurs.
I would say, hey gals and guys, you're about to deal with a very difficult scarlet letter. You live as an entrepreneur wannabe in 2019, which means your propaganda on your Instagram account is painting a life. Sooner than later, the economy will collapse. You will then have to go work at Chase Bank or at, you know, somewhere else, and you're going to have to stop showing the facade of being a successful entrepreneur. And so the sooner you could start telling the truth of actually being an entrepreneur in the process of trying to win versus what entrepreneurship got cool. Super fun for me. Rappers, sneakers, it's been amazing. I'm super happy. I'm also unbelievably prepared for it to be demonized the way big banks were in 2008 when the shit hits the fan, and prepared for all the comments that you, Gary, you fucked me up. You told me entrepreneurship, now I'm this. Really? Because you didn't listen.
But you make it look easy, right? I don't watch LeBron play and sit there and say, oh, I could be the basketball player, right? I watch business people and you're like...
But you're not watching. LeBron, you actually see it, and you don't actually see it because you just see the byproduct at night. We're not... LeBron's fucking in the weight room right now. LeBron's eating healthy as fuck. LeBron's watching film on Ben Simmons right now. You don't see that. I'm in fucking meetings 17 hours a day. And my attempt to vlog everything really doesn't work because there's so much sensitive information. But lately I've had a couple of these mega blogs, right? Blogs where people are seeing my whole day and people are fucking going crazy. Why I'm realizing? But what I realize is, Now they're actually starting to see certain things. They're like, oh, that's how he treats people? Fuck. If he's doing that and he's nice to everybody and I think I'm somebody because I have 4,000 followers on Instagram, maybe I'm doing this wrong. And so, yeah, man, when it really gets to the Truman Show and people are really wise, when somebody a little bit braver than me shows every single thing, like if I was just, if I didn't have a company with clients and employees, I'd show everything. I'm just not. But I kind of sometimes dream of it because that's what's been great about these mega vlogs. So you then you would really see it, and then it wouldn't seem so easy. You go read the client comments on the 4 episodes I put up that are long, they're like, fuck, that looks exhausting. I hear fake manipulations of my story. Just one more time, because we're having an on the record day. I walked into my dad's business doing $3.8 million in sales, grew it to a $60 million business.
So you weren't handed it like some other people say.
Of course not. I left at 34 years. Guys, if I was handed a $60 million business, why would I start VaynerMedia in the conference room of Buddy Media because I didn't have enough money for rent? No, what I did, unlike all you fuckers, was I gave the 12 best years of my life to my parents, who I love the most, built them a $60 million business, and walked at 34 with no fucking money. Now what? Now what, dick? You know what I think is a better advantage than fucking being born into something? Being born into nothing. I'm on the record. Remember I said it, can't wait to watch it in 20 years. The internet the way it is today, I'd rather have zero than 100 million. People that have zero are like, this fucking guy's an idiot. That's because you don't talk to trust fund babies. I do. I talk to trust fund babies. They DM me. I meet them in real life because of my business career. They're fucking sad. Do you know what it's like to talk to a human being that looks at you at 22 years old and says, no matter what I do, no matter what I do for the next 80 years, it will never be my own accomplishment. Everybody will always say I was handed it, and I'm done. Do you know what kind of level of depression, cocaine, and partying until you die that leads to? A lot.
Both sides are always gonna come the other side.
100%. And by the way, nor do I expect anybody that grew up the way I did in a studio apartment in Queens to have sadness for Richard Thompson III. They will say what I always hear, which is, cool, I'll cry in my Ferrari. That's because you don't know what crying is. As we end today's podcast, I wanna give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So Dean, take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thank you, Gary. Today's review from Jen Marshall says, this podcast is a game changer. I am a new follower. I wish I would have been paying better attention to Gary since I bought Jab, 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 Right Hook back in 2013. I've learned more by listening to 4 episodes than I've picked up in the past 7 years of running my organization. Thank you for all the knowledge you share here. I'm inspired to create and share more and know that this will help my nonprofit reach more people. I'm a huge fan. Thank you so much for writing in, and remember, keep leaving reviews because yours could be next.